By this point, you have your team in place. You may have had a few gatherings in order to get to know each other better. And ministry ideas are being hashed around and things are feeling really great. So now it's time to get serious and start planning for your upcoming year. I would suggest that the women's ministry follows the same calendar as the church. If you're over halfway through the year, you may want to use the rest of the year for planning and then announce the ministry officially in the new year. It gives the team plenty of time to prepare. It's also better for the women because they won't get used to the idea of women's ministry events being on the calendar, only to see them disappear for an extended break. As a women's ministry team, you may decide to plan out the year in advance or break it down into seasons. You could have all the details outlined or have a skeleton calendar and work on the details as each event approaches. Keeping in mind, giving women advance notice can improve your event attendance. I know of several women's ministry groups that plan a leadership retreat. They'll head to a bed and breakfast, or if a conference is coming into their area, they may add an extra day to their hotel stay, and they use this time to plan out their entire year. There's a local ministry who plans off-season. In the summer, they'll plan for their fall and winter events, and then in the winter, they'll plan for their spring and summer. Advanced planning of some sort will only benefit your ministry as a whole. Now, outside of your planning meeting, you will meet regularly to execute those plans. You will decide the frequency of your team meetings based on the type of calendar you're planning. A ministry that has an event every other month won't need to meet weekly as a leadership team. A ministry that has a busy calendar with multiple activities per month is going to need to meet more frequently as a whole or individual committees. Planning out the year not only informs the women of the upcoming events, but it helps you determine the team meeting schedule too. Another consideration for your meeting schedule is whether or not you have volunteers from within the church helping. If you have a team leader who is the brunch coordinator, she may choose to build a team of volunteers to help her. Now, these women won't come to the leadership meeting, but the brunch coordinator might want to have meetings with her team as needed. Planning out your year will help these leaders to come up with a schedule for their committees. I really advocate advanced planning for the year, and those are just a few of the reasons why I favor it. But when you know what is coming ahead of you, you can be better prepared for it. It's really important to make sure that your team meetings are being led effectively and that you're asking people to volunteer their time and energy and attending these meetings. You want to make sure that they're counting. A typical women's ministry meeting might look something like this. Everyone arrives, so there's a bit of socialization while everybody is getting maybe their coffee and getting into their seats. And then the leader takes prayer requests. Then you might address old business, new business. The meeting closes with prayer and a little more socializing. Now, unless you're planning a major event, this really shouldn't take more than an hour to an hour and a half. But I have sat in ministry meetings that have gone on for 3 hours and longer, and hardly anything was accomplished. This was a meeting that was not effective. For example, you can see this when you have a leader who isn't assertive enough to get everybody seated and on task. You might have 8 people meeting, and yet the prayer request took 45 minutes. Sidebar conversations that are taking away from the meeting. There's lack of notes from the previous meeting, and so nobody could remember who volunteered to do what. A member was asked to get information for the team, but she comes unprepared, and that delays the meeting as she tries to find her notes or to make phone calls to acquire that information at the last moment. Life happens, and any meeting can get derailed. However, if it's happening time and time again, then you recognize that there's a greater problem. So, what are the ways that we can ensure that we have an effective women's ministry meeting for our leadership team? First, create an agenda and email or hand it out to your team in advance. This one serves as a reminder of the meeting, if someone needs to complete a task for that meeting, and it can also allow women with questions to get clarification before the meeting as to not take up time. It also helps everyone to be prepared for what's going to be discussed at the meeting. No one is going to be caught off guard or surprised. 2. Start on time, every time. Because there is an agenda, the late person will know what they missed, and they can be filled in later. If you're meeting at a cafe, encourage those who are going to order food to arrive early. Long lines can cause delays, and when your food is ready, there will be interruptions when it arrives or just because you're eating. If you meet at your church or at someone's home, allot for a short time to get coffee and conversation. 3. Distribute and follow the agenda. Agendas are great for keeping order, providing conversation flow, and ensuring everyone has a piece of paper to write down notes, dates, and assignments. If you're keeping an eye on your agenda and reference to the time, it also helps you as the leader to keep moving forward at the right pace. 4. Establish the prayer policy. You may choose not to do any prayer requests and open up the meeting with a general prayer about the ministry, over the women serving, and anything pertinent that you as the leader were asked to share. For example, if a team member was in an accident on the way to the meeting, well, of course you would want to pray about that. If you choose to allow prayer requests, you can ask that the women email them or text them to you in advance, and you can create a short document covering those points of prayers so that, one, as a group, you can all pray for them, and two, the women can take the prayer requests home with them to continue to pray for them during the week. This will allow you the opportunity to acknowledge those requests without spending too much time in in-depth explanations. If you're going to allow the prayer request to be spoken in the meeting, consider setting some boundaries. It's absolutely within reason to limit the prayer request to the women and their direct family members. You might also want to suggest that if anyone has any questions, concerns, or suggestions for that person, that they need to share them after the meeting is over. 5. Stop the debate. If a decision is taking too much time because the team is clearly unable to agree, as the leader, you need to stop that debate. Either table the discussion for the next meeting, when everybody's had more time to think about it, or to do more research, or just kill it. You as a leader have the authority to do that. And if... 6. End on time. Every time. Things are going to happen, and you may find yourself nearing the end of your allotted meeting time, and only 3/4 of what you had intended on your agenda was accomplished. You may be tempted to rush through those last few points, but I recommend that you just end the meeting. You can send a follow-up email if the issue is time-sensitive. Otherwise, just let it wait to the next meeting. If you are meeting in someone's home, encourage the women to leave when the meeting is over, as to not take advantage of the hostess's hospitality. A quick comment to a group chatting could be something as simple as, "You gals should go get coffee somewhere." It's non-threatening, and it's gentle nudging. And I've been known to do subtle things like handing someone their notebook or purse, or cleaning up the space and helping to usher women out the door. 7. Have a note taker. Someone on your team is a good note taker. I'll guarantee it. And you'll know that person because they were the one who showed up at that gathering information meeting with a notepad in hand. Whenever you meet, they're writing the whole time. They answer questions when no one else can because they wrote everything down, not just what pertained to their own duties. Enlist this person to take notes, also called meeting minutes, during every meeting. They can then forward these notes to the entire team within a day or so after the meeting. This ensures that everyone knows exactly what is happening, who is responsible for what duties, and for the person who is late, this is how they'll catch up. If they have any questions at that point, they can then contact you as the leader directly. One of the very first events we'll plan for new ministry is what most of us consider a kickoff event, and it's basically the way that we're going to introduce to the church this new ministry. In most cases, the kickoff event is a brunch or a dinner, and it's hosted by the ministry team. Now, you may choose to do something a little less labor-intensive, like coffee and dessert or tea and sandwiches. And while this sounds like a fun and easy event, which it is, don't forget that it is going to serve several purposes. First, you're introducing the ministry to the women of the church. Second, you're going to be introducing the ministry team members to the women of the church. Who are they? What do they do? Third, you will be distributing your upcoming calendar of events. And fourth, you may be soliciting for volunteers for subcommittees or for specific unfilled team positions. 5, you might also pass out surveys to the women to complete, indicating their interests or offering suggestions or even posing questions that they might have about the information given. 6, you may want to announce upcoming women's small groups and studies or solicit leaders if you're still developing that program. 7, if you're planning to attend a conference that year, this is a great opportunity to share that information with the women in advance so that it can begin planning. I also like to make the recommendation that should you hold a kickoff event, disperse the women's ministry team members throughout the room. Try to have one team member per table to answer questions or to get to know the women that they're sitting with. When a team is always sitting together, it can give the appearance that they're really only socializing with each other. A tight-knit team is wonderful. A tight-knit fellowship of women is amazing. I would also encourage the leaders to switch up who they're sitting with from event to event. Get to know more women if possible. Many wait until all of the other women are seated and then find empty seats. Kickoff events can also be utilized when you're making major changes to the ministry to share this news with the women of the church. Is there a new team? Introduce them. Is there a new vision? Share it. Need more volunteers for a growing ministry? Ask for them. If your church takes the summer off for large ministry events, a fall kickoff event can be a great way to just officially start off that new year. The organization for a kickoff event is similar to a brunch, so refer back to topic 7 for details and suggestions. It is important to have a great start to building the ministry and holding effective meetings. A kickoff event is a fantastic way to then build anticipation for the ministry, gather volunteers, and really start things off on a good foot. However, we can't neglect to ensure that we are ending on a good foot, too. And we do this through evaluation and course correction. The exact method you will do this may vary from ministry to ministry, but the point is the same. We must look back on our activities and ask ourselves, did we accomplish our goal? Was there good attendance? And if not, why? Is it a bad date or just a poor topic? There was no interest. Was the event executed properly? Or did it fail due to poor planning and misinformation? Did we get results? Did women sign up for small groups? Did we see more church attendance? Ultimately, did the event fulfill our mission statement? If not, why? And did we stay within budget? If not, why? These are just some of the questions that you might want to consider, but I recommend having some sort of a questionnaire or survey that your team uses to evaluate the events you hold when they're over. This also includes small groups and Bible studies. Did you offer 10 studies, but only 4 of them had anybody sign up? Well, try to figure out why. And can it be fixed, or what could we do differently? You can choose to evaluate events as a team as each event passes, or you may decide to wait to the end of the year and kind of do them all at one time. There are ministries who actually survey the women of the church at the end of the year for feedback. And I've seen a few who survey at the end of the event itself. The exact process of your evaluation needs to be something decided upon by your team members, but just don't neglect to include it. Your ministry will not be effective if you're not looking at what went right and what went wrong. Otherwise, you're wasting time offering events that nobody's interested in. You'll waste money on materials that no one wants, and you'll repeat mistakes that you didn't learn from. Knowing this information is only half the battle. The rest of the battle is then problem-solving those errors and then building onto your successes. These evaluations will be imperative for your next planning meeting when you begin to discuss that year's coming agenda. You might learn quickly that Friday night events are just not going to work with the women in your church, or that the women are not interested in Bible studies by certain authors or on certain subjects. You might find that a certain speaker really just didn't sit well with the women of the church, and you probably shouldn't invite her back. On the flip side, you might find out that another speaker was given such high praises that you might want to consider not only bringing her back, but bringing her back more frequently. Evaluations might also reveal areas where the ministry is in deficit. You will learn what the women in your church want a mentorship program or have a deep interest in community service. The women may make suggestions of things that you've never even considered. Their opinions are just as important in the shaping of the ministry as those who are on the leadership team, if not more so, because these are the women that we're serving. See, it's not about us. It's about getting God to the people of our church. Now that you have your ministry up and running, it's important to continue learning and growing leaders in order to sustain it into the future. And we do this by developing our leadership team, understanding how to handle crisis when it comes, and then respecting the careful balance between our personal lives and our ministry service. In our next 3 sessions, we're going to explore these important topics on how to sustain our ministry work.